Blah, 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 blah. Coming up on TMS, I have my own box troll.
Let's print some 3D logos.
Game of Thrones babies.
NASA says, aliens are coming.
George Takei says he has something new.
Brian Williams blames everything.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Why are women so happy about new Tickle antiperspirant? Is it because Tickle is the first roll-on with a big, wide ball? Is it because Tickle comes in four fresh fragrances? Or is it because Tickle helps keep you dry all day? Make yourself happy. Staying drier is nicer with a little Tickle.
This is it, jackasses.
I don't care. This is the morning stream.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the morning stream. This is TMS, the morning stream for Thursday, the April 9th, 2015. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Scott.
Are you a little weirded out how fast the month's going? I am.
April's flying by. It's like, you know, you look at the year, and every time you get into a new month, you're thinking, all right, this is going to be the month that I finally get to, that I take care of X, mm-hmm. I handle Y, I finally get Z off my desk,
yeah.
And A through W all seem to happen in the first couple weeks of the month, and before you know it, it's already the 15th.
Yeah, it's hard. I don't know what's, I don't know the trick. I don't know what magic I need to employ, but I am so far behind on so many things right now.
I think you just need a shampoo bottle that looks like a wiener.
That's it.
It boiled it all down into its...
A shampoo bottle shaped like a wiener. Tickle. This is the dumbest commercial ever made.
Boy, there's a marketing guy who was wringing his hands furiously. Yeah. Oh, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, or he's saying, I hope no one notices what I've done here. I hope no one sees the subtext. So we're here. We got stuff to talk about. We have things to do. It's a Thursday episode. That means Wendy will be here later. Got a little Therapy Thursday. A good one, I think. They're always good. Whatever.
They're always good.
Yeah. Even the weakest of questions leads to great discussion. Correct. Not that any of your questions have been weak. Okay, I just want to lay that out there. I'm not saying anyone's questions are weak.
Well, there was that one. Do you remember the one? There was that one that we had that one time. That
it was
one.
Pretty bad. It was really bad. It's just kidding. Lame. It wasn't that bad. all right, so this is the funniest thing ever. This sadly didn't happen to me, and I wish it had, because then I would have excruciating detail to share. But I can only tell this secondhand. But it is such a perfect story that it has to be told on the show. It was so much of a perfect story that three or four people involved, they being neighbors and my wife, were like, you have to tell this on the show. So I'm not going to use any names. I don't want to implicate anybody. But this is maybe one of the funniest things I've ever heard. So the other day, we have a mutual friend who is an adult, mature woman who has a son in his very early 30s who has Down syndrome, okay? Just a kind of thing that happens. He lives at home with his parents, very common. And he likes to call her during the day and get excited about what he's doing and can't wait to see a mom and that kind of stuff. Real sweet kid. I call him a kid, but, you know, he's 31, but he's got Down syndrome. So he calls his mom and says, Mom, guess what? And she says, what, honey? And he goes, I've got my own box troll. And she says, oh, okay, and they'd just seen this movie, right? Mm-hmm. Watched it on DVD or something. And he went, yeah, I've got my own box troll. It's right here. She says, oh, well, I'm so excited to see it. He goes, yeah, hurry home from work so you can see my box troll. Okay?
And so, for people who haven't seen the movie.
Yeah, there are these little green trolley dudes that live under the sewers who, when they come out, well, actually all the time, their clothes they wear are old discarded boxes. And their nicknames are based on the box they're wearing. So if they have a box on that says... bananas on the outside, like it used to have bananas in it for a market or something, then the name of that box troll is Bananas.
Maytag would be another name.
Exactly.
Of box troll.
Exactly. So it's a, gotcha. I loved that movie. I thought it was
a very large box troll. I haven't seen the movie. That's why I asked.
It's all stop motion, not claymation, but, you know, kind of Nightmare Before
Coraline,
Christmas style. Yeah. Definitely like that. Well, more appropriately referred to as the, what's the other one? Paranorman, the same people, same directors.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, I really liked it. And so as soon as they started telling me the story, I'm like, oh, yeah, I like box trolls. That's great. He's probably got some cool thing at home. And she thinks this, too. She's like, oh, he's converted like a Kleenex box with a hole in it. Maybe he's put one of his toys in there. This will be adorable, right?
Yeah.
She gets home, and he goes, Mom, you got to see my box troll. You got to see my box troll. She's like, okay, honey, I'm coming. Comes in the door. He takes her into the living room. He opens there's a TV stand, right? Big TV there, uh-huh. Shelves on the sides. And then below is like you'd open it up and down there would be like, you know, whatever.
The components you're tucking away, like the receiver and the
sure. And TiVo or whatever. One of them has shelves. The other side is big open, as I understand it. And okay. So you could put like a subwoofer in there or something else, right? So it's kind of got a decent amount of space. He opens up the TV thing underneath and he's got a small dwarf man in there.
What?
an actual human being.
Like a real live little person.
A little person is in this TV space.
What? Okay.
And he goes, look, Mom, box troll. I got a box troll. And she's like, she doesn't even know what to say. She's kind of beyond herself. And this guy, this little actual person, is looking out kind of terrified and freaking out inside of this little cubbyhole space. And she says, what's happening? You know, she doesn't know what to say. Turns out, here's what happened.
Okay.
He's at home in the house. This little person is doing door-to-door selling of something. Like, I don't know what it was even. They haven't told me that. But he was selling something door-to-door, like, you know, DirecTV subscriptions or something.
Yeah.
Got to that door. This kid, and they're, I don't know if you know, I mean, people out there may know this. If you know anybody who's got Down syndrome, they are unusually strong people. They're very strong. So there's always, you know, people always make terrible jokes about how about they, you know, they'll smother a puppy by accident because they'll just love it to death and things like that. Well, they don't know their own strength. And he sees this little person at the door who says, yeah, I'm wondering if you'd be interested in the, you know, starts going the thing. And he picks him up, starts yelling box troll, stuffs him under the TV and won't let him come out.
How long was he?
All day long. It happened at 9 a.m. and was there until she got home at 4.
Oh, my God.
It's the time frame is a little fuzzy because I don't remember what they told me. It was something like that. It was early in the day. Maybe it had been noon or something. But he'd been there for a good 4 or 5 hours inside of this thing. So they asked the little guy, who's not pressing charges and is totally fine. Okay. They said, why didn't you go? And he goes, because every time I tried to open it and leave, and he's trying to be, you know, sensitive to this kid and not, you know, he's not just going to treat him like any other person. He understands he has Down syndrome. He goes, every time I try to leave, he'd shove me back in. And every time I try to do it and try to work my way out of there, he'd get madder and madder to the point that I thought he was actually going to hurt me. So I stayed in there.
God.
So he kept a little person inside of there, called it a box troll. I was dying. I was dying.
Oh, my God, this poor guy. He didn't have a cell phone. He could have, like, said,
help, 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 it's happening.
You're gonna laugh. let me tell you what's going on, and please know that I'm serious.
Yeah, please know, send for help, because this is bad. I mean, what a nice guy tonight, not, like, freak out. And, you know, and he probably more than anyone, he understands what it means to be misunderstood or treated bad or whatever. So I think he was just being very sensitive to it and was just trying to do the right thing and knew that eventually, you know, he wasn't going to get, it's not like he was in a hole and there was a basket with lotion being lowered down by a rope. Like, you know, it wasn't that kind of containment. But nonetheless, man, you're this little person who doesn't have the strength or leverage that this big, giant, 31-year-old Down syndrome kid has. I don't know what you'd do. If I were him, I think I'd have done the same thing. Because what are you going to do? You can't run very fast.
Yeah.
You can't jump on him and start pounding on him. Like, you know, this isn't Time Bandits here. You know, like that was misleading in Time Bandits. So, yeah, it's the whole thing is just kind of is one of the most shocking stories I've ever heard. It just happened up the road over here.
And it actually because EDC actually forwarded a link to a Snopes article, like where this email got passed around with a very similar story. I'm not saying I'm certainly not living.
Oh, no, not, of course not. Where is it? Let's see it.
Here is a link. It's the last link in the chat room from EDC.
Oh, here we go. Doorbell, legend, woman, good call from Down syndrome brother. Oh, what? Yeah, this sounds like the same thing. Except it's a brother, not a mom.
Right. Well, then the second one is an autistic adult son.
Well, unless they were telling me a story, this is odd.
It does seem strikingly
similar,
doesn't it? Hold on.
Woman got a call from work from a Down syndrome brother who lived in his own, panicked, telling that he found a troll and had him in the closet. The woman ignored the nonsensical call, discovered that he had a, they say midget here, locked in a closet. Little man was a door-to-door salesman. Dude, that sounds like the same story.
It does.
Hold on a minute. If I've been duped, I'm going to be ticked. If they
Let's
told
get
me
your
this,
neighbor on the phone right now. Do you have the?
I don't have their number, but if they told me this, so I would say it on the show, and then get punked, I am going to be pissed. That's too close to the same story.
It's crazy. It does seem
the man was understanding,
similar.
Telling the apologetic woman that he knew her brother meant him no harm and simply waited for someone to come get him. That's the story I just told.
It sounds like it. Yeah.
All right. The plot thickens, everyone.
Right.
If that turns out not to be true, then what was I laughing at? And my wife, she's suckered in too. We're all suckered in if this is true.
Ooh. You know, hold on. There's another article on here about a story about a guy who left a bunch of rice cooking in a Chinese restaurant.
Hey, wait. There's another one about a poo bag on the side of a lady's face. No, the only downside of stories I tell secondhand is that they didn't happen to me.
Right, you can't verify.
And you never know, and I can't verify. But why would they tell us the story?
I don't know, and make it sound like it really happened to them?
Yeah. The yarn about this living person mistaken fantasy creature held against
its will. It's a mutual friend that you know that this
happened I know to. I know who said it. I know who told it. Somebody. Oh, and we got an updated text this morning that said, oh, by the way, if Scott tells the story on the air, I guess when the guy called his mom, he said, I have my very own box troll. Also, the mom asked the little guy why he didn't try to leave, and he said Down syndrome dude just kept putting him back in the closet, and he was getting mad. See, I kind of knew all this. I don't know why she told us anything. Anyway,
it's
just
like,
a few extra
like
details.
They looked through the Snopes article and said, oh, this might be relevant. Let's make sure.
Dude, if that ends up happening, if that's true, heads are going to roll. That would drive me crazy because now I've just told a funny story that turns out may not be. I mean, how could the coincidence be this great? Or could this be a thing where this happens all the time? That's possible.
It certainly could be.
Like, because they see a little guy and go, ooh, Lord of the Rings, and stick him in a hole.
Right. I mean, there's nothing in this story that is, supernatural or requires suspension of disbelief. There are door-to-door salesmen. There are little people who perform that job, and it's certainly conceivable that someone could overpower them and make them get into a TV stand.
Nonetheless, my onion-like neighbor might have told me a story. We're gonna have to figure this out. Now I gotta find out. All right, tonight, TMSPM will be the great reveal.
Ooh, excellent.
Yeah. We'll have a follow-up.
I see we have that. Here's what you do. Do they listen to the show?
No, I don't know. Okay. They may now just to see me get punked. I don't know.
I was going to say, maybe we have them on as a guest on TMSPM and say, tell me some more details about this story.
Yeah. We forgot it was a sister. Like, what are we going to do? Oh, my gosh. All right, tonight we will confirm because I'm finding out, man. I can tell you that right now, not three times. I'm going to find out what the hell's going on. Yeah. I feel like I've been duped, but maybe.
You're going to storm down to the neighbor's house with your iPad.
And maybe the neighbor is, maybe they're, no, they're the ones that's happening. I don't know. I'll find out. I feel like I'm getting punked. And why they would do that to Kim, I don't know. Mm-hmm. If Scott uses the story on the show today, oh, geez. I'm smelling a rat. Brian, can you give me an update on your 3D printed Coverville logos? Because I saw a photo this morning that looks pretty rad, and people should know about these. They're really cool.
Yeah, and I wish I could hold it up so people could see it on the camera. But so I've been doing, you know, all these miniature Coverville logos. It's like these little tiny ones you can see me holding up here on screen, about an inch and a half square. And what I do is I'm basically kind of doing like a little what do they call those in photography? Like a proof sheet where you kind of take the same roll and you do different exposures on it to see which one looks the best kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Just kind of, it's like the old days of doing regular printing. Like you had to get things right and you try to see which combinations of colors work the best. And
exactly. Right. Yeah,
they're
exactly.
Like proofs,
if
basically.
If I leave the developer in, or if I, you know, leave the, leave it in the developer for 15 seconds instead of 10, I get these results. And if I put the exposure at this number, anyway.
Like a proof. You're doing a 3D proof
sheet. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And I'm doing a bunch of these. I've got a bunch of these little things. And on the back, I write down the settings so that I can keep a hold of these and say, okay, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for this kind of quality and this short time, blah, blah, blah. It's really cool.
Yeah.
So, but these only take like about 45 minutes to an hour to do.
Per inch thing, the small
per little inch dealy.
Yeah.
And overnight, it doesn't make sense for me to start a little one going and just have it finish up at, 11:30 midnight or whatever.
Right.
I want to put this printer to the test. I want it to be working all hours of the day until it breaks again.
Nice.
And so I decide, all right, well, instead of doing the little one, I'm going to go ahead and actually make a Coverville logo that's about 4.5 inches wide and about like half an inch.
Oh, that's cool. That's about the capacity of the width of the thing, right?
That is. That's about maximum. There's maybe like a half an inch around the sides that I could have increased it more.
Yeah.
And the little timer thing on the software says, oh, yeah, this will take about 4.5 hours, 4 hours, 38 minutes.
Sure.
Great. No problem. I feel like I'm getting some good use out of this thing. Mm-hmm. I get up this morning, come down here, and it is just about to hit 50%, and I started this thing at 10 o'clock last night.
Oh, wow, that's more than 4 hours then, isn't it?
That's more than 4 hours. Mm. We're at 12 hours, and it's at 50%, so it's going to be raid time when this thing supposedly finally finishes.
I was hoping you'd say you came down, and there was just you came down and looked, and it was a wiener. It was just a shape
just
a of a wiener.
Just a bunch of shredded wheat all over the floor.
Yeah. That'd be terrible.
So, but this is one that I'm really excited about, because what I'm going to do is, it's actually doing all the letters individually on the raft, so I'll be able to pop off each individual letter, take them outside. I'm going to spray paint them, maybe do a little bit of touch-up work with a sander if I have to, and then put them all on a chunk of Velcro and stick them on the front of my laptop bag that I use when I'm going to the con and to the expo this next week. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, look at you and your giant 3D printed logo.
Look at me. And this is the first thing that I've actually modeled myself using a modeling application. And
That's really cool. And it's, I think, a good test of the fix. Like, the fact that it went all night and you didn't come down to a, shredded weed everywhere, I think is a good sign.
It's a very good sign.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, good. This is all positive.
I'm happy about this. Yeah. And excited to see the results. And when I do, I'll post them up on Twitter. I could probably post the in-progress one up on Twitter that I sent you this morning.
Yeah, I want to see that. That'd be great. Or they want to see it. I've seen
they
it.
They want to see that. You've seen it.
It's on my phone. Yeah. Right there on my phone. I'm looking at it now, in fact. And it's so misleading. It's hard to tell how large that is, but now that you've described it, that's about as big as I imagined.
Yeah. Really, really cool. It's wider than a credit card.
Yeah. But not nearly as useful if you're shopping.
Well, unless you're Coverville, then it's like having a credit card, because you just flash that logo and they know who you are.
That would be a cool thing, actually, is these new printers figure out a way to kind of get to that stage where we can just shove plastic crap we don't want anymore into some kind of machine, kind of Doc Brown style. Yeah,
and have failed prints would be nice too.
Oh yeah, just recycle those. That would be that. I'm telling you, that's got to be the new hot thing sometimes.
This old light cycle failed body. There's the shredded wheat thing, by the way.
Oh yeah,
so you can kind of see.
Oh, that's very shredded wheat.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, that light cycle looks like garbage.
Yeah. Much. I'd like to shove that in a little opening in the base of the printer and have it.
Yeah. The printer said was doing it, and then the printer said,
I don't give a shit.
All right, great. Here's this. Join us now for Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by,
of all sad words of tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. This week on Tell It Anyway, what would have happened to a scared young boy if JFK had lived? If Jenny had embraced her inner really Rosie? And what if poor Cheddar Scott, I love that name, had not draped his arm around a hopeful 15-year-old at just the wrong time? Find out at tellitanyway.com.
Nice.
Love that show.
Daryl, are you there, or are you a fake Daryl and I've been led to believe something that wasn't true? Because now I question.
I'm a Nigerian prince. Our new segment, Stump a Nigerian Prince.
Oh, that'd be brilliant. How much money do you have to give me if I get you out of jail? $4 million. Ding 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 ding. You're a winner. All right, Daryl, it's fine. It's fine to have you here. It's fine. How are you? What's going on?
I'm good. Well, no, I'm not good. I'm actually stuffed in the bottom of a TV cabinet.
I see. And that story's going around, is it? Mm. Yeah, I don't know.
I call fake on that.
I do too. It has to be. It's too close to that story on Snopes. Like, it's dead, yeah. Dead on. Like, until I get some kind of independent verification, until that little man comes to my house and tells me what happened, I don't think I'm buying it. Anyway, we'll see. Yeah, I got a bone to pick real quick with a Twitter follower, Divine Sandwich Maker, who's been around forever. Good friend of the program. Mm-hmm. I had stated this morning via Twitter that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is crazy, looks crazy young for her age. I think she looks in her 30s. She looks really, really young to me. And I don't know how she does it. And she doesn't appear to have too much work done and all that stuff. And I just think she's just naturally going to be beautiful till the day she dies. And Divine Sandwich Maker writes back and goes, she looks her age. Do you guys agree? I think that's a little sour look on it all. But I think that she looks so great for her age. How old is Julia Louis? How do you spell it? She's like, okay, there we go. Not husband. I don't want to know how old her husband is. Okay, he's 57.
Brad Hall.
She is 54 years old. If you telling me she looks 54 on average, you're a smoking the crack, Divine Sandwich Maker.
Then Divine Sandwich Maker, you must look like a little baby.
Ding, ding, ding. Exactly. By the way, Jerry.
Older than me.
Jerry is 60 this year.
No, Jerry's 60. What's the deal with 60?
He just turned 60. 29th of last month. April 29th.
I don't want to be an old man.
Wait, he's going to turn... No, I'm sorry. On the 29th of this month, he turns 61. Think of that.
Oh, so he's already 60.
He doesn't look 60 either. The Seinfeld people all look young, except Larry David, and he hasn't looked any different since he was 19, so he's the same. Anyway, forget all that. Let's get to the point at hand here, which is Daryl and his Star Trek question. I've got one for you, Daryl. It's Next Generation related. I think we're plumb out of TOS questions these days. Just hardly.
Oh, that's being lazy. I think there's more questions.
There might be some, but you'll just get them all. That's been the rule here, is that if you get a TOS question, you just kind of get it.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. So here's your TNG one today. In the episode The Enemy. It's just The Enemy. I was made it sound
enemy,
like
not The Enemy with
The Enemy, The Enemy. Riker, Geordi, and Worf beam down to a planet. The conditions, or as he wrote it, conditions on this planet are pretty rough. They find wreckage of a Romulan ship. Geordi says he has detected traces of what element in the wreckage? I actually remember this. I don't know why. It just jumped out. But anyway, your possibilities are mechlinite, ultritium, selenide, or hytridium. Hytridium.
Oh.
So mechlinite, ultritium, selenide, or hytridium. Those are your options. I want you to think real hard. But while you do, or before you do, tell us about Star Trek history today. What day of filming was it on some episode?
Oh, let's see. funny you should say that. In 2001, it was the 16th and final day of filming on the last Voyager episode, Endgame. The cast and crew celebrated with a party afterwards.
Oh, well, that seems all right. How was that party? Do we know how that went down? Lots of drinking
no notes on that.
All right. I was hoping there'd be some sort of debauchery going on there. well, good.
They all snorted coke off of...
Who would that have been off of? Geordi's boobs, right?
Right, there we go. Perfect.
Geordi's boobs.
Geordi's boobs.
Yeah, coming soon to PBS. Daryl, I got a question for you about Star Trek. Did you know that... Oh, no, before we do that, you tracked down those MASH laugh clips.
God, yeah.
So I'm going to play those. I have them right here queued up. This is the female one, and it's a weird one. I find it kind of scary, but here's the female one. Is that the thing?
Yes.
I
hate that thing.
And it happens
so
all
much.
The time, doesn't it? They use it. They reuse it.
Many then, times per episode.
This one you totally can recognize. I think everybody out there will. I did immediately. Here's the male. It's the...
I know. I had PTSD as soon as I heard that. It was like I was 12 again listening to that thing.
Yeah, and I watched an episode of MASH last night, and I'm almost positive I heard both of those used. In fact, I think per episode you're guaranteed at least one of each of those.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
at least yeah.
Good find on that. I think that was pretty funny. But what was I going to say about that? Oh crap! Now I forgot what I was going. I was going to say I think it'd be fun to track down actors who are in. I don't know why this sounds fun to me. No one else will think this is fun, but who are in MASH and Star Trek? Like all the connections in MASH. There's got to be a bunch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure there are.
Yeah. I don't know who or how, and then a lot of TOS ones, I'm guessing, as well. But.
And it's funny because that all pretty much nestled right in between TOS and TNG.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah.
There was no overlap between the two.
Yeah, because you had your late 60s Trek, then MASH was your dominant TV thing for the next 11 years, and then,
that's
right. Then TNG.
The only overlap would have really been the movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so those guys had to work somewhere, right? And you know what? You could look at it this way. It's also the gap between... When, what's his name? I said George Takei. It's not who I meant. Who's Mr. Miyagi? I can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Oh, Pat Morita.
Pat Morita was on Happy Days.
Right.
Then there's no work between Happy Days and Karate Kid 1. So he goes on MASH. See? He was on MASH. He was on a couple episodes. So
there was overlap between MASH and Happy Days, though, wasn't there?
Was there? I don't know.
Oh, there totally was. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
There had to have been.
But was it him that was running the thing, or was it the other guy? Was there? There were two Al's.
Yeah. Was it the Alfred? Not Alfred Molina. What was it? Alfred? Because his name was really Alfred, wasn't it?
Oh, maybe.
The Big Al.
Maybe Big Al. Crap.
Talk about getting typecast, right?
Dude, that show. I don't even know if I could stand. I don't know if I could even watch Happy Days at this point. I probably could watch the first few seasons, but it got real dumb, real weird, real quick.
Yeah, it really did. Yeah, 1974, 1984 was Happy Days, and Al Molinaro, not Molina, Alfred Molina, Al Molinaro, was played by Al Del Vecchio. It's like, Del Vecchio sounds a little too Italian.
Yeah.
Let's change it to Molinaro.
Yeah, yeah, because that's different.
Pat Morita was on there from 1975 to 1983, and his MASH tenure.
Yeah.
It was just a couple episodes though, right? He wasn't a regular on.
I think it was for a while because he replaced Al in the restaurant and ran the place.
No, on MASH.
Oh, on MASH. No, you're right. He was just a couple of one spotters. Yeah.
Two episodes. Yeah. Sam Pack, from, and 1973 and 1974. So there you go. Yeah,
right after. We've all learned something today.
Mm-hmm.
That you can be fooled by box troll stories and other things. I just telling my wife. Let's see if she got my message.
He was on a bunch of stuff, though, in the 70s. Like, he was a regular on Sanford and Son as Achu. Wow, there's nothing racist about that name.
No, not at all. Achu.
Jeez.
There were a lot of those names in there.
And Mr. T and Tina. He was the Mr. T on that show.
Yeah.
Taro Takahashi.
Well, whatever. Pull out the Asian stereotype name and hey, Daryl, it sounds like we're interrupting like a conference meeting. You got like something going on there? Something real important over there. Who's bringing the donuts? I said bring
donuts. I don't know.
I don't like the cream-filled ones. Don't bring those next time. Who brought bagels? Those are stupid.
I think Bill farted.
Oh, Bill. Bill farted by the cop by the Xerox again. We're all out of toner. All right, Daryl. We used to have a guy who lived by us named Greg Toner. And every time he'd leave, I'd say, "Up, we're all out of toner." And everyone would look at me like, "You're a grandpa. Why you make that joke?" Terrible joke. Anyway, Daryl, let's get back to your question then. In the Next Generation episode we're talking about, one of these things were detected by Geordi. And they were, I'll repeat them again just for fun, mechlinite, ultridium, selenide, or hytridium. What do you say?
Nice job with those, by the way.
Well, the third time's the charm, Brian.
Sticker.
takes it three times and then I'm good.
Here's a good job sticker for you.
Thanks. You put it in the middle of my forehead?
Uh-huh.
Or on my pee-pee.
Oh, my.
Well, goodness. Don't do that. Watch too much American Beauty. All right, go ahead.
Oh, I have almost no idea. Now, this is the one where they fell in a hole, isn't it? The Romulan and Geordi are in a hole.
Oh, and they had to learn how to work together, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yep. That was a real... that was basically like Enemy Mine Jr., is what it was. It's like a little version of like, oh, two completely different people stuck in a place where they have to work together. Hody, hody, hum. It could be an American. It could be a Russian. It could be, I don't know. Who else could it be? It could be the leader of the KKK local chapter and a black civil rights leader. together stuck in a hole. They've got to figure out a way to make it work, despite all their biases and problems. Right?
Sitcom waiting to happen.
Yeah, a cat and a dog in the same space. A tiny door-to-door salesman jammed in a box. I'm frustrated with that story. Anyway, Daryl, what do you say? What do you think?
Well, now I'm listening to all the stuff happening behind me. Uh-oh. I don't know what's going on.
Uh-oh, pink slips. Is that what we're smelling? Hope not.
No, I don't know.
All right.
Okay, the only one that sounds familiar is the last one.
Okay.
Hytridium?
Hytridium, not the... what was the other one that sounded like that? Not eutridium or ultridium?
No, that sounds so fake, too.
They all do.
It's the ultra of the tritiums.
Age of ultridium.
All the tritiums. Of all of them, this is the ultra one.
Yeah. And mech what? What's that mech?
Curbium.
Mecha. Mechlinite.
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 Unobtainium. Oh, wait. Somebody actually used
it. Yeah, they did.
I don't think it's that.
Unbelievium. Inexplicium.
Yeah, there you go. I like those a lot better.
I hope James Cameron's writing these down because there's going to be some Avatar sequels. He's going to need some new minerals to mine.
Yeah, he's doing two back-to-back. We may as well have some choices.
That's right.
That's a great idea. It's been since 2009, that movie. It's been a while. Been a long while. It's been a long time. We started Film Sack that year. Think of that.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. That's a long time ago, man.
So selenium is the third one. What's the third one?
Selenide.
Selenide.
Oh, selenide. Well, that sounds fake, too. I guess I'll just stay with the one that sounds familiar.
Daryl says hytridium. Let's find out if it's right. Whoops. Is it? Should have gone with the one that sounded the fakest. Ultridium. Jordy says there are traces of ultridium residue in the wreckage. He says an explosive device was used on the ship after it crashed. Here's a clip of some of that stuff going down. Here you go.
Recognize those markings, Worf? Yes, sir. Romulan. What the hell are they doing in the Federation sector?
Picking up traces of ultridium residue. An explosive device must have been used to destroy the craft after it crashed.
Yeah, it's yell acting. Some of my favorite. Well, there is
it's almost as good as pretend there's turbulence and wiggle around in your seat.
Yeah. Because I honestly think that all the other noises were added after. So it's them just yelling and then they layered in. Yeah. It's terrible. Can you tell what's going on back there? I'm all curious now. What's happening in your office? What's going on?
I don't know. They just suddenly disappeared.
All right. What words did you catch? Was it things like kill him and where's the body and things like that? Probably not.
Yeah, lots of that.
Lots of that. All right. Well, lots of this can be found at Daryl's other shows. He does This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com, and The Grumpy Cast, where he gets real grumpy about stuff. And what else? Oh, and he's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. Tell us, Daryl, now a game of your own, please.
Okay. Is this a rejected Star Trek episode title or actual video game?
I think we'll keep using this one. Hold on. All right, go.
Klonoa, Door to Phantomile.
What? Klonoa, Door to Phantomile. What was the last word?
Klonoa, Door to Phantomile.
Phantomile.
Phantom Isle is in two words, Phantom Isle?
No, it's one word.
Really? Phantomile, right?
Phantomile.
Phantomile.
Okay, Phantomile.
That's got to be a game. It's got to be a old Sega Genesis game.
Yeah, weird import or something.
Right, exactly. Should I pick up Toe Jam and Earl or Klonoa, Dora to Phantomile?
I'm going to agree. I think video game this time. What do you say, Daryl?
Well, back in 1997 on Voyager, they were sitting around the set playing this on a PlayStation. That's from Namco.
That was a pretty good workaround there.
That's a good right turn there, yes. I'm sure they were all sitting there playing this.
Yeah, and there was PlayStations all over that ship because they were out in the middle of the Gamma Quadrant and couldn't get home or wherever the hell they were. Gamma Quadrant? No. I always get corrected on this. They were in the Alpha Quadrant. No, what? What
Delta Quadrant.
Delta Quadrant. That's the one that's way... Was it? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm really guessing.
I don't have any idea.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Let's do the news brought to you by...
Commander Chakotay, please bring me my DLC to my ready room.
The news brought to you by this. Did you take the challenge, Scott? How about you, Tadpool? If not, go to nidfar.com/challenge quickly. Not only is it an interesting read, but for a limited time, starting tomorrow, the 10th of April, you can get the rest of the novella, Rise, Tears, absolutely free. So what are you waiting for? You're still here? The ad's over. Go on. Click the link.
I clicked it, and I'm kind of confused about what I got.
Well, you got a paragraph from the book.
Oh, is that what happened there?
Yeah.
Oh.
And you read that paragraph, and now you want to read more.
Oh, well, then the answer
nidfar.com/challenge
/challenge Yes, go do it. Why not? You'll like me. You'll find something new and exciting. What else here? Oh, the news. We got the news here. All right. So Game of Thrones premiere is it this weekend?
Or yes.
Is it this weekend?
I was blown away because I thought Mad Men and Game of Thrones were both premiering this coming weekend.
Mm.
And Mad Men started last weekend.
Yeah, it did. I heard all about that. Everyone's getting sideburns.
Mm. That's right. And Roger's got a big old cheesy mustache.
Yeah, I like it. Well, the parents, this is a new trend. Parents all over the country are naming their kids, actually naming their babies after Game of Thrones characters. This is happening. It's happening. Help, it's happening. Game of Thrones skyrockets popularity, and as it does, the number of babies named after the show's characters are on the rise as well. The latest data from the Social Security Administration, which is open to the public, which is why we're getting it from there, reveals that 241 babies, doesn't seem like a lot though, mm-hmm. 241?
Anyway. Not very many, right? That's not an epidemic.
No, there are 300 million people in this country. So
there are 241 dead characters on Game of Thrones.
Per episode. Yeah, come on. They have all named 241 babies named Khaleesi.
Right.
Why did you do that to your kid? Don't do that to your kid. That's the one word I don't like hearing people say on that show. I hate it.
Oh, really?
I hate it.
I don't think it's that.
It's annoying. Hello, Khaleesi. That name. It's like, what's it like? It's like doily or gymnasium. It's just a horrible word. I don't like it. The word means wife of the Khal. This, according to the series, George R. R. Martin's creator. And, anyway, Emilia Clarke's formidable female character is not the only baby name influencer from Westeros. The name Arya rose in popularity. 1,135 babies named Arya. Now, Arya, I could see. Mm-hmm. That's a cool name. It rolls off mm-hmm. the tongue.
Right.
Khaleesi. Holy shit. They're going to be 30 one day and have to be named that.
Right.
Don't do that to your kid. That's up 756 of them in 2012, 387 in 2011. Fan favorite Tyrion Lannister's name also shot up from 11 American babies in 2010 to 20 in 2012 to 43 of those in 2013. Wow.
Could somebody who named their cat after a character on Firefly really complain about this?
No. But it's not their kid, though.
Right, exactly.
There's
the cat's
difference.
Not going to go to therapy.
No, it doesn't need therapy.
And she's just fine. She's handling the name just fine.
What'd you name it? I forgot already.
Inara.
Inara, that's right. She's a companion, if you know what I'm
saying.
She's
a companion. It's also the name of the singer in The Bird and the Bee.
I'm not going to use the word I was going to say.
say it like they said it on Sopranos. Come on.
Oh,
you know you
can't
want.
Do it. I can't do it. I can't. I was sad that he wasn't there all the whole series, other than in flashbacks.
No spoilers,
but you know who I mean. I wish he would have been around. I liked him as a character
a
lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm,
big P, we'll call him.
Yeah.
I probably gave it away. Let's see.
Sorry, that's spoilerable. It's been a while. It's been...
Her actual name in the show, Daenerys, which is also annoying because it's spelled crazy. Is now up to 67 of those in that year. And there are 5 newborns named Theon after Theon Greyjoy. Why would you name it?
They're picking some weird ones. I mean, I could see Ned.
Ned Stark, yeah. Ned.
Right. I'm trying to think like Bronn or...
Bronn's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Bronn's not bad. How about just call me the Red Viper when I'm born. That's
Clegane.
Cool. Yeah, Clegane, dude. The Mountain.
Gregor.
Scott. Or no. Clegane, the Mountain Johnson. That's brilliant. Anyway, that's mostly how in England. There's a bunch of more, by the way, than here. So they really like that show over there. Yeah, that's coming up this week. I am kind of tempted now to just grab that HBO now and just do it. I think
I
might.
Did you see they've actually leaked a little bit of the plot line for the first episode?
No.
Yes. Hodor catches Tyrion and shoves him into a shoves him into a TV stand.
Except nobody, he can't explain it because all he can say is Hodor. Great. Right. And Tyrion's
by the way, big credit. I got to give credit on that one to I think EDC in the chat room.
That's pretty funny. You get points. Since we don't have Cleo today, we'll give you a point right now.
Yes.
NASA chief scientist Ellen Stofan predicts we are going to find alien life within 10 years. If y'all been sitting
from
there wondering.
From the planet Stofan.
That's right, Stofan.
That's where those aliens are going to come from.
Stofan 4. NASA's top scientists predict we are going to see these aliens by 2025. And even more strong evidence of extraterrestrials in the years that follow that. We think we're going to have these indications beyond of life beyond Earth within a decade. They've said the same thing four times, by the way, in this article before you even get to the quote. Have you noticed that? Like the headline says within 10 years, the next one says within 10 years, and then the quote says within 10 years. We get it. You're trying to fill a page.
How long is it going to be? How long?
Now, how long exactly? Says that evidence will be...
Aliens will have no concept of time.
Definitive evidence within 20 to 30 years, says scientist Elon Stofan. Stofan, whatever. I said Tuesday during a panel event at the on water in the universe. Oh, that's what the panel was on. We know where to look. We know how to look, says he. In most cases, we have the technology, and we are on a path to implementing it. And so I think we're definitely on the road. Other panelists agreed. Quote, it is definitely not an if, but a when, says Jeffrey Newmark, NASA's interim director of heliophysics. Oh, we need to get a new heliophysics director. Anybody want to sit in for him while we get one? Never even heard of that. Heliophysics, what is
Helio
that?
Helio is Latin for the sun, right?
Is it? Let's see. We're going to find out. Term heliophysics means physics of the sun. You're right.
Sun physics.
Appears to have been used only in that sense until recently, though. So it's kind of a new thing. But yeah, it's about sun stuff. Good job. Look at Brian. Look at the science on Brian. If you saw an alien tomorrow,
yeah,
what would you say to him? What would be the first words out of your mouth?
I'd say, Randy, it's so good to see you again. How things been?
That's pretty good. I'm going to do the same. Let's be united. Let's have a united front on how we treat our aliens. HelloFresh.com would like you to know that right now, for a limited time, you can get 3 free meals. That's 1, 2, 3 free meals over at HelloFresh.com. What's HelloFresh? I've told you before, but I'll remind you again. They're the meal kit delivery system that makes cooking easy. They make great chef-made recipes. Step-by-step instructions, freshest ingredients, measured to exact quantity, sent straight to your door in an insulated box, farm fresh, ready to go in 30 minutes or less. You got an amazing meal. You want 3 of those for free? Well, what are you waiting for? My gosh, go there right now, HelloFresh.com, and use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout. That's HelloFresh.com and MORNINGSTREAM. All right, look at this. George Takei, you're familiar with his work.
I am.
Oh my. He has a new... Do I have any Sulu clips? I don't think I really do. Let's see. Oh, I do.
I don't know.
That's him there.
That's him?
Yeah, he says... It's in the animated series.
I don't know.
And there's another one.
What am I doing here?
Remember that?
What am I doing here? What is all this equipment?
After we do this story, we should take a call from Cowboy.
Oh, yeah? What's up with Cowboy?
He wants to talk about naming kids, giving your kids funny names.
Oh, well, it's perfect time to maybe do that because that lockup thing I have thought I fixed, it just happened again.
Oh, no, and you can't, so you're locked out of that.
Okay, we're back. Cowboy's on the line. Cowboy, how's it going, man?
What is going on, Mr. Scott Johnson? Cowboy.
Father of the twins, man.
Yes, sir.
How's life with all that? You keeping busy?
Yeah, man, keeping busy. They keep us busy. They're 9 months today.
Oh, my gosh. You could have had another set of twins in that time. Think of that.
I know, man. I know.
Yeah. Maybe we don't want to think of that.
So, it's been a while since I called in and stuff like that. And you hit on the topic that I found interesting about hearing people name their kids after Game of Thrones characters.
Yeah.
So you know, I have the two girls.
Yeah.
We have Zoe Lane.
Yeah.
And we have Maya Jade.
Yeah.
Now, Zoe is named after Zoe Washburn from Firefly.
Okay, of course.
All right.
Yeah.
She's her middle name is Lane. Lois Lane, Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Okay. And then we have Maya.
Wait a minute. Lois Lane's not Wonder Woman.
Not Wonder Woman. You are right.
That's insane. Wait a minute. I want to clear this up before that kid gets to be 10 years old.
Right. So, oh, yeah. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, everybody in class. I'm named after Wonder Woman, Lois Lane. They would have been like, what?
Hey, man, I'm still asleep. No, it's at the Lois Lane.
Yeah, there you go. She's
a strong female character.
Sure. You know. Got it.
And then we have Maya from Borderlands 2, the Siren.
Oh, wow. All right. I didn't know that. That's great. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then her middle name is Jade. You want to guess that one?
Jade. Brian, you want to guess what it was?
Mara Jade from Star Wars?
No way. Okay, Mortal Kombat.
Oh, Jade from Mortal Kombat?
Wow. Nice.
Well, it's your fault if she ever yells, finish him in the house and throw something at you.
I know, man. So we were going through names and everything, and we just thought it was just too much on the nose to do Zoe and Kaylee. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It was just too much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even though Inara is a very beautiful name, we were kind of like,
Yeah.
Maybe we don't want to name our daughter after a companion.
I was like, I don't want to have to punch a kid for saying, I know why your daddy called you Inara. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you don't want to quietly hope that everyone falls out of favor completely with the Firefly universe, because there'll be some kid somewhere who knows.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And, you know, we had a strategic way of doing it, because it was like, I was trying to think of songs, because I didn't want them to have the guy say, you know, like the song about Renee. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, I don't want some 16-year-old trying to, you know, win my daughter over with some lame song, you know, because it has her name in it.
Yeah.
You know. And then you do the initial check to make sure the initials don't spell out anything.
Yes, right.
Oh, yeah. See, this is all really, really smart stuff. We were so dumb and drunk on excitement when Taylor was born that we spelled her name on her birth certificate as Taylor, like the dude who makes your suits. So we wrote T-A-I-L-O-R. Not because we wanted to. I think we just thought we're being, I don't know what we were doing, but it was like 3 a.m. and we spelled it that. She never fixed it.
Did you take care of that at the courthouse, $50?
No, it's still that way on the records.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though she's, you know, T-A-Y-L-O-R everywhere else, she's T-A-I-L-O-R on the freaking records.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people are like, well, you have Maya. People are going to say, be Maya Valentine. I was like, you know, just having the last name Valentine, you already get that during Valentine's Day. So, you know, embrace it, girl.
Add to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
When people first started hearing that our son's name was Tristan, we got tons of people saying, oh, is that from Legends of the Fall? Because Brad Pitt's character was named Tristan.
I love that movie. That's a great movie.
We had to educate people on the Knights of the Round Table and Tristan the Soul, the old fable.
Yeah. That's the one where Hannibal Lecter gets a stroke and can't talk anymore.
He's talking to Elliot from E.T. and Brad Pitt's there asking what's in the box.
And
that other guy I can't think of from 12 Monkeys. All right. Fantastic time talking to you, man. Always good. I hope the babies are good and they're going to be toddlers soon. Forget about babies. Give it another couple months. They'll be running around, dude.
Yeah, man.
Good times.
We'll talk to you later.
Have fun. See ya. All right. So far, so good. We're still recording, Brian. Let me restore my web pages. Just give me a moment here, everyone. Just
okay. Relax.
Maybe that Snopes article locked me up. All right. What the hell are we doing now? We have a little time to tell you about... So George Takei and his husband Brad are making a new TV show on the web. That's what I was going to tell you about.
Cool. And it's going to be like a reality show?
I think so. Let's see. Play heightened versions of themselves in the series, whatever that means. A 10-plus episode series premiered on Tuesday. First episode, Brad Takei. They took his name. Interesting. Brad Takei discovers a mean meme of himself on husband George Takei's Facebook page and launches a mission to take it down.
So more like Matt LeBlanc kind of episodes thing where it's an exaggerated version of the character.
Yep. I'm going to make a prediction, though, that this is probably terrible. I'm just going to throw it out there. It doesn't sound good to me.
When does the first episode come out?
Well, it aired last week. Let's see, premiered this week, Tuesday. First one's out now. Where is this even? Oh, here's the YouTube. Let me click it. Okay. Here we go.
Really playing with fire there with the.
It's called It Takes Two. Holy shit.
Oh no, really?
Yep.
Well, it's Takei.
It Takei's Two. It still yeah. still sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, here. It's him looking on the web. Okay. Brad Takei. He's looking at images. He's seeing a meme.
Seriously?
Oh, see, it's bad. He's not the actor in the family, everybody. I'm going to skip ahead.
Okay, so this meme issue is driving me batty because I can't control
it. Okay, it looks like crap. It looks really bad. It looks bad. I mean, I'm not talking... Who cares? Great, they're gay. Go for it. That's not my problem. My problem is it is... That looks like bad.
Poorly
bad.
Acted or...
Yeah, just poorly made.
All right, well, it's 4 minutes long. I'll give it... I'll watch it after the show and...
Give it a shot. Let me know what you think. And then finally, Brian Williams thinks his brain tumor caused him to lie. I didn't know he had a brain tumor.
He has a brain tumor? Well, how do we know for sure that he has a brain tumor?
Well, it says NBC's news anchor went from rapping the news to getting bad rap after he confessed he had fabricated a story about the enemy fire thing and the helicopter and all that. You know about all that.
Yeah.
He says this. According to resources in an in-depth Variety article, NBC executives are told by Williams that a brain tumor was to blame for the false story. He couldn't say the words. He says he couldn't say the words "I lied," recalls one NBC insider. We could not force his mouth to form the words "I lied." He couldn't explain what had happened. He said he didn't did something happen to my head. Maybe I had a brain tumor or something in my head. He just didn't know, and we don't know. We had no clear sense of what happened. We got the best apology we could get. That's not a guy with a brain tumor. That's a guy who's not willing to tell you he lied.
Right. He doesn't say he has a brain. He says, maybe I had a brain tumor.
Yeah,
or
what?
Something in my head.
Yeah, you need to stop that.
Oh, Brian Williams, yeah, maybe just be quiet for a little while.
Yeah, why, what happened?
This will all be okay. Watch some Paula Deen.
Yeah, she'll help you. She's been here.
Right.
I feel weird about that whole deal because I really liked him. I mean, I don't know him, so I don't like him, but I liked his newsman thing he had going there. And this is all just so freaking weird.
It really is. Yeah.
He couldn't say the words "I lied." Well, that's because he doesn't want to admit that he lied. Hello? You don't go, I don't know why I can't say I didn't lie. Maybe my leg's missing. It doesn't work that way. All right. FantasyCoin.com sponsoring the show before we take a break. FantasyCoin.com launching a brand new Kickstarter coming soon. Hold on. I'm going to hold up one of my rupees to the camera. I got a blue rupee that's worth more than the green ones. See that?
Right.
I got these rupees from him. They're pretty rad. Brian got some too. Green, red, blue.
We can't say rupees. We can't use that word.
I'm sorry. A multi-sided polygonal thing. Hex gems, he's calling them.
Right.
But they got all this other cool stuff. Coins, hex gems, these dwarven hex sets that create these big completed circles and actually spell stuff out. All the things you'd ever need for a D&D group or any kind of Pathfinder group or whatever it is you're doing. That's what they're doing. It's awesome. Go to fcoin.com. Sorry, I'm an idiot. tinyurl.com/fcoin15. That's tinyurl.com/fcoin15 and see what's going on today. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We'll get all up in the therapy today. Before that, though, Brian brought music. What do you got?
I did. So we had a couple songs today, the first of which was a request sent in by, as I find this quickly, hello, where is it?
Uh-huh.
Oh, geez. Mm-hmm. There it is, because I had four of them highlighted on here.
Got it.
This is, oh, shoot, that's still not it. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What shall you do?
I know it. Did I not? There it is. I didn't have it highlighted. I'm sorry.
Brian, okay. Maybe you had a brain tumor when
I think
it happened.
I had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Gear sent this in, and I did not have it highlighted. It's finally my birthday again, 10 years away from the answer. It's almost like it's written like a haiku. Since I'm the only podcast crazed person in my friend group here in Norway, I wish to wish myself a happy birthday. Mumble, mumble show, though. Love, Gear Ova. And it's G-E-I-R. O-V-E. I don't know if I pronounced that wrong, but happy birthday. Happy 32nd birthday. If you're 10 years away from the answer, that's how I translate that. His request is Five Finger Death Punch, The House of the Rising Sun, a cover of the song by Eric Burden and the Animals. Actually, it's a cover of a song that was traditional. But Eric Burdon and the Animals, Nina Simone, all had transformative versions of it and iconic versions of that song. House of the Rising Sun right here from the album The Wrong Side of Heaven and the Righteous Side of Hell from 2013. Here is Five Finger Death Punch.
Dry look from Gillette. Dry control for your hair. Keeps it neat but dry. Keeps it looking clean, full, and natural but dry. The wet head is dead.
Long live the dry look from Gillette.
What is all this equipment?
The Morning Stream. No dicks here.
Dicks Indeed. Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
None of that.
It's an awesome cover. I was telling you before the show, we didn't record this, but I just wish those guys would do that style for most of the rest of their music, and they just don't. Mm-hmm. It's all screaming.
Yeah.
It's really good. I love gothic, heavy, deep, like, metal-y kind of stuff like that.
Yeah, it's almost got a Norwegian metal kind of feel to it, even though they're... they're apparently from Vegas. People in the chat room saying that's why they changed the line from New Orleans to Sin City.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. I wondered about that.
Plus, they knew that I'd be leaving for Vegas on Sunday, and they said, "Well, let's make it appropriate for TMS that day."
Hey, I have some advice for you, by the way, on this trip. Uh-huh. Don't go to the Jack in the Box off the Strip. I'm going to recommend
There's
not
no
doing
danger
that.
Of that.
Yeah, and if you get as far as the airport, well, you're going to be at the airport because you're going to the airport. But mm-hmm. if you're out near those kind of hotel-y areas and stuff and you see that big giant vent in the ground, I'm very curious if my homeless guy is still there, if he's laying on that thing still. Because he never moved. He was there the entire 6 days I was in Vegas.
Oh, there was a video maybe a couple weeks ago that talked about the crazy underground Las Vegas sewer system and how many people live down there.
Oh, really? Ooh.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I'll find that. It's okay. Yeah, I'll find it.
I'm into that. I love stuff like that. I hate that there are people suffering down there, but I'm interested in that sort of stuff. That always freaks me out when there's like little secret worlds. This like it's like
the
Futurama.
Fascinating underground world living in flood channels beneath Las Vegas. And
I'm all in. All in on that. Is that a documentary or just like a little
it's
short
like
video?
It's like a short little documentary.
Okay. I am all up for that. Sounds interesting to
BeneathTheNeon.com is the website where you can check that out. I'll put a link in Skype.
Coolio. I will hold on to that because it's very interesting to me.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get windy in here. And it's going to get all windy in here, you know what I'm saying? And she's going to lay down some tracks for us and talk about how to be better people in the 21st century. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
I did not get an email back from her, so I don't know what that means. My sister and her two kids, my other sister and her two kids, are in Sweden this week visiting.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
I got no answer from her. Let me try that again. I don't think there
Apparently
was...
Apparently, it's a little documentary you can buy, but I'll put it in Skype for you.
I would buy that.
Yeah.
That's just right up my alley as far as crap.
It's it sounds like a really interesting documentary.
Let me bring this up. Let's look at it. Beneath the Neon, armed with a flashlight, tape recorder, and expandable baton, author Matt O'Brien.
Ah, Matt O'Brien, you're going to go down below Las Vegas, are you? How are you going to find those goons?
Let's see. Flood-controlled system for 4 years. Oh, we did this for 4 years. So this is like a real thing.
I thought this was a video. It's a book, but there is a video.
Oh, I want the video. Screw this book.
A book?
Books for buttholes.
Here you go. Here's a link in Skype for a little video.
Books are for readers. the fascinating inner world living in the floods. Okay, here it is. You can learn more about the tunnels and the O'Brien site. Is this the video? Let's see how long it is. It's six minutes. Seeker. A Discovery Channel thing. Under the Strip. I'm just going to see the beginning.
We have about 600 miles of flood channels in the whole Las Vegas Valley. Two or three of the tunnels go right beneath the Strip. A few go beneath the downtown area. And then the rest are just everywhere. You can.
The rest are everywhere. I'm going to watch this whole thing later. It sounds great. And is this a short version of a longer thing or just this?
I think this is probably a video that promotes the book if I'm guessing here, because the link that they give you is the one that goes to the book.
Yeah, this is super interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm going to look at that later. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Brian's always finding me something cool.
Certainly.
I think Wendy may be out.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know where she is. So she will join the call if she's there.
Okay.
But I'm not getting a response on text or anything, so that maybe she got out of range somewhere. Or I know my other sister's there, so maybe there's some confusion on schedule or something.
Interesting. Well, we definitely don't want to cover this one, this topic without her.
Oh, yeah. Hell no. Yeah. We'll do this on our own. So instead, I got some calls. You want to hear some calls?
Let's do some calls.
All right. We'll just throw some in randomly. How about this one?
Sure.
I know how much you love having a drunken phone call. This is for Matt. I just heard somebody call you guys Snap-on and Bosch, which completely... went right over your guys' heads. They're direct competitors. So I was wondering if you had any information on that. If you have any opinions on which one's better or anything else, I would appreciate to hear it.
What is he talking about?
They're tool competitors, like Snap-on tools and then Bosch tools.
Oh, okay.
Bosch is more auto parts kind of stuff, right? Like,
Bosch
shock absorbers and
yeah, that like sounds that. Right to me. I think maybe it threw me off because I just watched that Bosch show and it didn't click. I thought that was the reference, and that's why it went over my head.
Oh, how funny!
The Snap-on part I thought was like, I don't know what that was. Snap-on and Bosch. You would have been Bosch. I would have been Snap-on. What the hell is Snap-on? I guess
the BS
tool
business.
Makes sense to me. Now it all makes sense. Here's an Irish call.
And what's our opinion on those products?
Well, let's see here. I don't have one.
I prefer Craftsman.
Guess who has a toolbox in our house? Just take a wild guess.
Kim. Yeah. Kim does.
Yeah, she does. I don't. Yeah. I don't have a toolbox. It's because I'm not a real man.
Isn't it like just like a family toolbox? Like...
It is.
Do you have to ask her permission before you get anything out of it?
No, but she's the one that keeps it organized. She's the one that puts the tools that came from wherever she got them in there. She's the one that knew what Dremel she wanted. She's the one that knows what kind of cordless drill is the best one to have. Like, I have no idea. I'm not a man. She's all woman, but she knows more than I do about this crap.
That's great.
Not that it has to be. Look, I'm breaking gender rules one at a time. That's my goal. Here's an Irish call. It'll be fun. Here you go. Right here.
Hi, Scott and Brian. Irish Al here. Yeah, you've probably gotten a lot of contacts about the look around you thing, but it was a spoof comedy of a sort of 1970s science program, but it was done by Peter Serafinowicz, who was the voice of Darth Maul, and he was in Shaun of the Dead. He was the housemate in Shaun of the Dead. I actually think they're really funny. And I highly recommend, certainly the second season too. It's quite different from the first season. If you can find any of them, I highly recommend them. Love the show. Bye.
All right. Did you catch the name of the show he's referring
to? Yeah, it was Look Around You. You had a clip that you'd played. It was Look Around You.
Oh, that's what that was. He's saying that's what
around
that's from.
You.
Okay.
And we were trying to remember what that was from. And I watched a little bit of the video online. And oh my God, that stuff is hilarious.
I like spoof nature science channel stuff. That's funny to me always.
These ants are building an igloo.
Yeah.
They've been trained, and then the igloo melts and all the ants die.
This really great Vine guy who just started not long ago. He's already kind of really popular because he's really talented. But he has this Vine he does once in a while. About once a week he does one called Home and Garden Tips.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with this theme song every time where he goes, grab your popcorn, grab your chips. It's time for some home and garden tips. And then it's this guy. It literally has like 2 seconds left, right? Because half the 6-second video is gone with the theme song. And it's usually him just kicking dirt on something, going, kick it and rip it or something. And his butt's always got his crack hanging out. It's the funniest freaking thing.
That sounds awesome.
I wish I could find that Vine home and garden tips. All right, check this out. If I could find this guy. I can't find it. He's really, really funny. Oh, here it is. Is this it? This might be him. Yeah, this is him.
Grab your chips. Here's some home and garden tips.
No, I'm stuck.
Grab your popcorn. Grab your chips. Here's some home and garden tips.
He's literally...
No, I'm stuck.
Yeah, he's literally stuck. In the tree.
Give me a link to that.
All right. Oh, crap. It just killed it. That stupid tab went away. Hold on.
Oh.
Vine. Home and garden.
How will you ever find it again?
Vine. Okay. All right. I'm sending you the link now, Brian.
Okay.
And I recommend following that guy. He does other really funny stuff. He's just super talented and makes me laugh every time. Anyway, that's that call. There's a call. That was a call. Let's do another one. How about this one? Hypnotherapy guy, okay? Hypnotherapy man.
Mm-hmm.
Here he is.
I've actually been a client of a psychotherapeutic, hypnotherapist. So it's a strange sort of feeling where, like, you're sort of out of it, and then you respond not with words but with, like, a slight movement of the hand thing. It's weird like that. But the best way I can describe it, I guess, is more that you're not thinking about answering the question or whatever that they're asking. You're trying to figure out your subconscious. It's kind of like when you're you're doing a bit on GMS, and then you forget the theme, and you're not thinking about that the theme was a secret. You're just thinking about the theme, and you blurt out babies. Love the new bumper, though.
I still don't know how I feel about hypnotherapy.
Psychotherapeutic hypnotherapist.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know how I feel about it, though. Like, if it's a thing I don't know how I feel.
It may not be for everybody.
It may not be.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. My dad found his keys a lot when he used his little self-hypnosis thing that we all thought was bunk. He seemed to find his keys.
You know, there's a truth to the fact that if you're struggling to remember something, the best thing you can do is try to remember something else, because as soon as you relax your mind and not try and like, oh my God, what's the name of that actor? I do this all the time. And then I just think of, all right, well, let's think of Matthew McConaughey, or let's think of Weird Torso on Kate Upton or something like that. Mm-hmm. As soon as you just try and remember some other tiny bit of detail about something else, your mind relaxes and you remember the other thing.
Isn't that weird? I did it today, because when I was trying to say Hannibal Lecter earlier, I had to think of Harry Morgan. And then I remembered Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's I use that all the time with trivia. Like, when we're struggling to remember something that we've talked about or something that we get asked about, and we're just sitting there thinking, oh, it's right on the tip of my tongue, and I just can't remember what it is. All you have to do is just think about something else for a second, and for some reason, relaxing your mind does it.
That's what she said.
Thank you,
Harry Morgan.
There you go, Harry Morgan. I'm deep into the Harry Morgan episodes of season 4.
Great Caesar's ghost.
You know, he was really good as Colonel Potter. I'm going to give him some big fat credit for that. Mm-hmm. I think it was a hell of a role. All right, that's all the calls for now. And that'll do it for a show. We'll just end a little early. It's fine.
All right.
We never do that.
Sorry, Zillager. We'll get to...
we'll get to you next week.
Get to you next week.
Yeah, no worries. He's going to...
figure out, because you're going to do a... We're going to do a Thursday morning show. Tuesday morning, Thursday morning.
Correct.
And then PM, I'm going to try and do a call-in for that.
Yeah, correct. And I'm going to try to have some sort of other third body in here for that. Quick note about Monday. So you're not here Monday.
I am not here Monday. I'm going to be up late Sunday night hanging out with the same sex Mary crew. We're going to go to the West Wing bar and try out the video
games. That sounds like, yeah, I like video games. So do that. Tell us all about it the next time we hear from you. There will not be a show Monday, not because of any other reason, except my wife came to me yesterday and she said this. She says, you know what? You haven't had a day off in about 3 years. And I said, well, you know, we went to Vegas. She goes, yeah, but it doesn't count. Because we're busy running around. It was bananas. You've never really just taken a... She goes, you work 7 days a week. And she's right, I do. 7 days a week, every week, there's something happening. Shows to record, stuff to prepare for, freelance to do, artwork to finish. It's nonstop. So she said, if Brian's not there Monday, why don't you take a day off that day? Like, the whole day, just say, that day I'm not working. Period. Nothing. Do nothing. And so I think I'm going to do that.
Tina, are you listening to this?
I'm going to take Monday off. Kim is going to pamper me, and we're going to have we're going to have a nice little day together. And I'm not going to look at Twitter. I'm not going to touch any of this crap.
Wow.
I'm going to I need a day off, and I agree with her, so I'm taking Monday off.
Nice.
So you go play video games. You go do the same sex, Mary. Yeah, it's Vegas, man. Whatever happens there stays there. You know, the people hate that term over there, right? Like, the actual Vegas people hate the what happens here stays here.
Oh,
because
the
cops and stuff think that certain crimes have gone up since that slogan got introduced.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, people.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
That there's some percentage increase in, like, sex trafficking and other, like, undergroundy kind of things that you don't necessarily hear about, because the theme literally has gotten people more loosened up while they're in Vegas to do things they wouldn't normally do.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah, it is kind of horrible.
Oh, jeez.
Because it's kind of a funny tongue-in-cheek, ha-ha, we get it. But now it's like, according to what I saw in this documentary, it was a sex trafficking documentary about how, like, pimps and that whole thing is just a real problem. People don't know about it. It's happening under your nose. And a lot of these girls are, you know, literally killed without any control of their own, blah, blah, blah. And the Vegas cops and the Vegas detective guys are like, oh, yeah, huge uptick since that slogan went into effect. And I just thought, oh, man, you never know what you're going to do. So how about this? Vegas's new slogan. Las Vegas. Free candy for everybody.
Yeah, maybe I wouldn't do that one. They've had a few different ones, and I'm trying to remember what the current one is. For a while they were doing Your Vegas is Showing, which is horrible.
That is horrible.
What was the, there was a recent one with all the people in the commercial, like, I really pulled a mic or something like that.
I don't know. I don't remember. I thought it was still what happens here stays here. No,
no, it hasn't been. Well, I was going to say that hasn't been for a while, but actually if you do go to lasvegas.com, that still is the slogan up there, but they're not, that's the only place they're using it. They're not using it in their commercials. They're not using it.
Oh, you're right. On the site, it does say that still.
Yeah. I guess the current one is The Secret.
It says
what's
right
your
here,
Vegas secret or something like that?
There's an article that says Las Vegas iconic tourism slogan, what happens here stays here, turns 10 years old.
Huh.
Meaning they're still using it in some way.
Wow. Yeah, I honestly thought that they'd stopped using that and they'd switch to, because they've had other ones since then.
Well, let's see. Here's one. Let's play a commercial.
Okay. Gluttony starts now.
We're like the Huns, you know? This is like all for the taking, all for the pillaging, but in a nice way.
You gotta think of me as your life coach. You know, for the fun parts.
This is my vacation too, you know? Don't drag me down.
You're saucy, I like that. Picante.
Hey, buddy. Listen to him. I can get you in upstairs. I know a guy.
And then what happens here stays here. There's like a devil and an angel man. Telling
weird.
People
to okay. Do. Maybe yeah. they're back to using it. That's crazy.
Still going.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, let's get out of here. Thanks everybody for being here. Cleo, no Cleo, but we're thinking about her. We know things are a little rough right now with Eden, and they're in the hospital still trying to evaluate what to do, but she's hanging in there like she always does. She's a tough broad in the parlance of the 40s. frogpants.com/TMS, themorningstream@gmail.com is our email address, 801-471-0462 is our phone number, and on Twitter @morningstream, @ScottJohnson, @Coverville. We'll be back tonight with a TMS PM at 4:30. So come join us live if you can. If not, it'll be on the feed tomorrow morning. And I think that might be it. Brian, do you have anything to add to the table full of goodies I just laid before people?
Just the Kickstarter is still going on. Star Wars covers done in a jazz style by Andrew Allen and Byron House from both from Nashville. And Andrew's heading out there next week to the recording studio to record with those guys. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a Led Zeppelin connection with the bass player from Band of Joy.
That's right.
And it's all Star Wars covers, all done in that style, and it's going to be awesome.
Quick Led Zeppelin question. Favorite Led Zeppelin song, go.
Cashmere.
That's mine, too. Too easy. That is really the best song ever made.
Such a great song.
Yeah, one of the best songs ever made.
Going to California is probably second best one, though.
Yeah, that was
second favorite.
Yeah. You don't think Stairway to Heaven? Maybe probably because it got overplayed.
No, I'm so tired of Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah. It probably would have done better if it would have stayed small. Like, it wouldn't have gotten the play it got.
Right.
And we'd all think of it better. But it's like Hotel California. Sure. That's a great freaking song, but geez.
Yes,
could
exactly.
Play that more. All right. Thanks, Eagles. Thanks, Led Zeppelin. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Brian will now share music with us. What do you got?
Here's what I got, and I've already pulled it up because I want to make sure I had it highlighted, and I do. This is actually going to go out to two different people. Hi, Poop Jokes and Brian. It's my 30th birthday on April 9th, and I'm trying to embrace this next decade of my life even more than the last, and I have to top having a daughter. Never thought I would, as on my dad's side of the family, there hasn't been a female born in over a century. Whoa. If you could play something celebratory or optimistic, that would be perfect. Love the hobo, Tinoch. And he said, you know, likes a cappella, symphonic, or comical type songs. Keep remembering the word comical, because that's where we're going to be going with this. Mm. Jason from North Carolina also wrote in. Good morning, fine fellows. I've kind of done life backwards. I'm 44 years old. I have a 5-month-old son. And after 2 years of fighting hard and not having days off, I'm just about to complete a master's degree, and I'm moving across the South to be closer to my family. Because I'm moving home to Mississippi, where this whole journey started, to a town that has no need for a bus because you can walk anywhere in 15 minutes, I'd like to request one of the songs that started my love of parody and all things Weird Al, Another One Rides the Bus. I'd also like to make this a long-distance dedication to my buddy Kevin, who introduced me to TMS at the beginning, and who I want to see, who I went to see Weird Al with just before we attended Nerdtacular for the first time. Tried to hold the Casey Kasem there, and I couldn't do it.
It's pretty good.
Reach for the stars, and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. Don't grin at Flojo, signed Jason from North Carolina.
Great. We love the Carolinas. Right, let's make it clear. We love the Carolinas. Everybody who thinks we were ragging on them, we're not. All right,
no, we love the Carolinas. Yeah. but really we like North Carolina more. All right, this is this is kind of a combination for both of those requests, and also a combination cover here. Now, Weird Al Yankovic's Another One Rides the Bus isn't a cover, of course. It's a parody of Queen's Another One Bites the Dust. But on the 26 and a half CD that came out a couple years ago as a tribute to Weird Al Yankovic, there was a bonus CD that you could get if you kickstarted it. And it was a bonus content that you could only get as part of the Kickstarter. It came out in 2011, actually 4 years ago. Wow. Weird. This is The Great Lukeski, and it is a cover of Another One Rides the Bus, sort of, more like a cover of Come On Ride the Train by, was that Quad City DJs?
I have no idea.
I think I'm going to say it is, and I'm sure somebody's going to correct me because I'm probably wrong. It is Come On Ride the Bus, and it's performed here by The Great Lukeski.
Sweet. See you guys tonight. Be there. Okay. Bye.
Listen to me, I got a new
Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Computer-generated geek.
Yes.